Welcome to Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the remote Right Side studio. Oh, yeah. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. We're going to switch gears right now. So far, we've done a pretty good bit on the electric vehicle market and where EVs are, and just called it EV Go Home because right now consumers are not buying it. And then I jumped over into a segment of Butters and Lee where we went and kind of ran the gamut on social and cultural issues. And now, right now, we're going to switch gears, and I'm going to bring somebody on who I've had the pleasure of working with in the past. Catherine Robertson is currently the chief counsel to Alabama's Attorney General, Steve Marshall. She's been there since 2017. She's got a BS in political science from Auburn University, her law degree from the University of Alabama. She began her career, actually, at the Department of Justice, and then went on to work with U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions as legislative counsel on the Senate Judiciary Committee in D.C., but I also remember her quite well when she worked with the Alabama Policy Institute, where I had the opportunity to be on staff later, where she was in Montgomery, literally going to bat on conservative policy. She's been in the conservative fight now for quite a while. And I will say this, too. My daughter worked for her for a while and had a great experience there. So, Catherine Robertson, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil. I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm good. Caitlin said to tell you hello, by the way.
No, please tell her I said hello, too.
I will do that. Well, hey, listen, I had the opportunity to get you on today because you just got back from D.C. I know that you were a part of the roundtable with local and federal officials that is a part of National Police Week up in D.C. Crime in America, Biden would tell us one thing, but the average citizen is feeling another. What were your thoughts and what came out of that roundtable?
Yeah, I was really grateful to Senator Tuberville for putting it together and for including me. And I was up there with the Hoover police chief and the Coleman County sheriff, along with some federal partners and a couple of other U.S. senators. I think the theme was that we all agree what the problems are. We agree that, unfortunately, one political party, which is the Democratic Party, is more or less abandoned this issue and would like to just try to convince Americans that there's really no problem with crime and similar to what they do with the border. And so the conversation was just about kind of what do you do in the face of that without the support of the federal government, with a Justice Department that has a very different agenda. And then, of course, the immigration problem exacerbating the crime problems that we're already struggling with. So we were all obviously aligned in what we saw as the problems and what we see as the solutions, but obviously we need some elections to help change some of this leadership.
Well, I think that we absolutely do. And there's an old phrase that I actually picked it up in a Bible study that says, as goes the king, so goes the country. And I think we are seeing the issues related to soft on crime come directly from the top. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, you can have pockets of liberalism within a red state of Alabama. Birmingham tends to have blue politics. But nonetheless, you can look at the broader picture and say, yes, a national election could wind up having a dramatic impact on all this.
Yeah, the presidential election obviously has a big impact. You know, sometimes you wonder if it's a reflection on the culture or if it's actually impacting the culture. But I think what we saw during the Obama administration is, you know, that was the start of this devolving in the public's feelings towards the police, just the belief that the police were the bad guys and somehow the bad guys are the ones that we should feel sorry for. And you know, I think that there was a huge change when Trump was in office. I mean, even just at the AG's office, we could feel just the camaraderie between the federal government, the U.S. Department of Justice, our local federal partners, and then, you know, all the way downstream, we all were really pulling in the same direction. And then, of course, when Biden won, that it all switched back to the way it had been under Obama, but really worse this time. And so, for whatever reason, it really does make a difference what the president's saying, what the White House is doing, how federal resources are being allocated on the crime problem. And so, you know, I think we do a good job from the state level, but there's definitely that broken link with our, you know, with what's going on with the federal government.
I saw comments. 1819 News had a summary of one of the folks that went with you to D.C. was Coleman County Sheriff Matt Gentry, I believe. And
yeah.
he spoke at the at a panel while y'all were there, and he spent a lot of time focusing on the southern border and the impact that's having on crime in America, and calling out the need for sheriffs and police to have the resources they need, because they're seeing, in his words, millions of men 18 to 25 year old crossing the borders on a regular basis. And the old misnomer that they're all coming from Mexico is wrong, because we're seeing, in his own words, Haitians, Somalians, Chinese, it's like the world is coming across the southern border, bringing fentanyl and everything else and trafficking. You guys have got to be seeing a lot of that southern border issue as having a dramatic impact on crime in America, too, I would imagine.
We are, yeah. I mean, the panel sort of began with all of us talking about, you know, localized crime issues, which we certainly do have, but then it sort of shifted into how the immigration problem just really makes all of that worse. And obviously the flow of drugs is a huge part of the problem. You know, Alabama is obviously not super close to the southern border, but we are located on what they call the drug trafficking superhighway. Yeah. So we're a state where drugs pass through, kind of headed from Texas to Atlanta on I-20. And, you know, when you have a lot of drug trafficking passing through, I mean, that just leads to more crime and more violent crime. There's actually a report that comes out once a year that assesses Alabama's drug threat, and it just increases every year, the fentanyl and just the downflow of crime from that. So you definitely cannot say that we don't experience the problems associated with immigration, even though we're pretty far from the southern border. We still get the negative impact of it. And so we talked a lot about that, and you know, that's obviously not something that our state authorities have a lot of control over, but yet we're left to deal with it. And obviously this administration is, you know, has no interest in helping us out with that.
Well, and you know, I talk on the show quite often about the impact of state governments. And sometimes, in my opinion, a state government can be a firewall against federal overreach or against things from the outside, if you will. I'm not trying to be isolationist, but what I'm trying to say is every state has a sovereign right within its own borders to pass its own laws and to enforce those laws for the benefit of its citizens, if it's not otherwise, you know, contrary to federal law. And so I say all that to say, you work in the Attorney General's office. And I was actually just bragging the other day about the fact that he is leading the way on the, in this case, it's not crime per se, but it's the fight against the Title IX diminishing that we're seeing from the Biden administration. But my point here is your office deals with things on behalf of our state, not just like prosecuting people in the state, but things that are on behalf of our state on a regular basis.
Yeah, you know, the ironic thing about the illegal immigration issue is, you know, most of the time in our office, when we're dealing with the feds, we are fighting, like you said, overreach. We are fighting to allow our state to have the say over the things that are left for our state to decide by our Constitution, things that were not expressly given to the federal government. And yet, immigration and controlling our border and homeland security is probably the primary thing they're supposed to do, and yet they won't do it. They're so busy getting in our business about every single other thing, our schools, our, you know, you name it. They've got an opinion on everything, and they want to push down their policies. But then the very thing they're supposed to do that states really aren't supposed to be doing is the one thing that they won't show up on. So it's very ironic, because immigration is the one issue where we're begging for their help, and every other time we're begging them to get out of our state.
Well, and rightfully so. But the frustrating thing too is we have sanctuary cities, not in Alabama per se, but sanctuary cities that declare themselves as a place that will not enforce federal law, or will not even cooperate with federal law, or for that matter, will defy federal law. The only thing I can hope for is that a day comes that we see Congress and the White House able to be in sync on trying to bring that back around. I do believe some of these sanctuary cities have been learning their lesson. They never expected to see the droves that they're seeing now. Their virtue signal turned into an invitation that everybody came. But nonetheless, there's going to have to be a sea change.
Yeah, they're reaping the consequences of those decisions. But, you know, one thing we talked about yesterday, and I'm wanted to go out of my way to make a point that, you know, Alabama does not have a lot of the crime problems that other states do. Now, we do have crime problems, and especially in I would say Montgomery and Birmingham stand out the most. And I think that is due to some leadership problems there. But as a state, as a whole, we've been pretty tough on crime. And I listed off an array of big changes we had made in sentencing and criminal justice policy over the last 5 or 6 years after we saw our numbers tick up. But we got on the topic yesterday of the Soros-funded DAs and how those are just ruining cities. And I brought up the point. I said, you know, one thing Alabama has that's really unique that other states need, really other red states need, is that our attorney general has statewide jurisdiction to prosecute any case or to take over any prosecution. And so I think that's a big reason we have not seen Soros money coming into our DA's races, because it would be undermined by the strength of the Republican attorney general. And I think if other states followed our lead on that, we could do away with some of these, you know, big blue cities having DAs in red states, like you see in Florida and other places that have Republican statewide elected officers, but then have these ultra liberal DAs funded by Soros. They wouldn't have the, you know, that wouldn't be right for the picking if the AG had that kind of jurisdiction like we have. So Alabama is really fortunate in that regard.
Wow. So I don't think I had realized, and we only got about a minute left here, but I don't think I had realized that our state was unique in that. So, I mean, I can look at New York and know that it probably wouldn't make a difference because Letitia James is the AG and then Alvin Bragg is the DA.
Bad AG,
so
it doesn't help. But if you're a red state, like I said, it elects good statewide candidates, and it's just these more local races that are the problem in the DA space, then what we have really is a great option. And we talk about that a lot with our counterparts in other states. Hey, you guys really need this. It's a great tool to have.
Wow, that is impressive. All right, well, listen, Catherine Robertson, I really appreciate you making some time for us in your role as chief counsel to Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall. Let's have you back on again sometime soon, all right?
All right, great talking with you, Phil. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Catherine Robertson from the AG's office. And she also used to work with the Alabama Policy Institute, too. Very cool. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break and we'll come back. I'm in this topic. And I also owe you guys a whole bunch of text messages. Have mercy at the text messages. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.